Okay, today's daf we learn is daf Chaf Gimel, and last year we saw the when you master lashon mechina, and you hand it over to shomrim, they are responsible for the damage. Then we also saw the debate, which was discussed in a bit more detail, regarding the level of chiyuv when it comes to a moed, in terms of also a level of shmirah that's required of a moed. Is it shmirah pchuta, shmirah meula? Or it doesn't really matter what type of shmirah you do, you're chayv no matter what. Okay, that was a discussion between Tanaim, which we saw last time. So the Gemara now says, now there's a lot of different ways of understanding the sugya. It gets quite complicated, but we're going to try and as best as we can stick with the Gemara full like we've been doing. So Amar Abalaza, divrei bi meir shmirat nezakav kishmirat shomer chinam. So what I want to do with you is actually go through the Gemara full. He brings a lot of background to understand this sugya. He says, for example, he says as follows: Kol mar shmirat pechuta. What does it mean that when it comes to Remeya Shmir Nezakav Shmir, that means really it's a Shmir Pechut is sufficient? Now that doesn't work according to Remeya. That's why people immediately switch. That's why other Gerusas switch this to say, no, it's like a Shomer Sachar, because we'll see in a moment, Remeya doesn't differentiate between a Tam and a Moed. It requires Shmir Ma'ula in order to be Patur. So let's have a look. Kugon Shekashu That's Shmir Pechutah. Meaning simply locking the door, tying it up, that's considered that's low, this I call it minimal, the lowest level also of shmirah. Meaning a door that can stand in a normal wind, right? Like Perikohanis. The stamp status of a shor is not generally looked after. Why? Kulomar, ein adam meshamer shoro klal. Normally, when it comes to an ox, you can ox like cows, things like that. They're not really that hazardous, so people just let them roam free. Amar Rachmana says, no. Tam nichayev, you're chayev for tam. In other words, the Torah puts an extra obligation. Says, no, if you don't do shmirah pechuta, that's what Torah added. If you like, if you don't do shmirah pechuta, you would be chayev. Okay, Hadar Rachmana, and then it says once v'loishmeru b'muad. So muad has got an extra higher level. So now I need shmirah mu'ula. Mu'ula, right? A better, like the highest, like with chains, whatever it is. V'yalef gzeres shava, and because we've got a gzeres negicha lemuad, we fold this back into tam. That's his position that you actually need a shmirah mu'ula. You need shmirah, in other words, a higher level of protection according to Remeir. That's a Tana Kamara Mishnah for both tam and muad. Important to remember that. Now, lefichach, Amar Remeir kashru dahinu shmirah pechutza v'yatzav zik bein tam and muad yibichayv. Clearly, in the lower level, yibichayv. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Stam Shorim Rabbi Yehuda's Cholek. He says normally Shorim are Stam Chezkat Shimur Kain. The people usually look after their oxen. So therefore, when the Torah is telling Vainu Shmira Pechuta, I'm Shmira to Abaylim. The Amar Rachmana, when the Torah comes along and says Tam Mechayev, you need by you now you need Shmir Mu'ula. You need a high level of Shmira. Hadar Amar Rachmana, that it comes to Gabay Muad Loi Shmirenu, you got a, if you like, a Ribu Acha Ribuy. So therefore, by Muad, Rabbi Yehuda is more makil that saying Shmira Pechut is sufficient. Okay? So Tam Chayv de Bay Shmira Mu'ula, Aval Muad, he says, the Shomer, the Shamur Hu, it's already effectively looked after. If you like God, the Sagile Bishmir Pechut, the Adkan, that's above. Now, let's try and understand what we mean now, Rabbi Meir, that says, Lativer Rabbi Meir Shmir Nezakav Shmir Shomachinam. Because again, the Marifold is going to try and make it work with the gears that we have in front of us. Because we've just said he needs a shmirah mu'ula, it should be like a shomer sachar. So he explains, ma shomer chinam shamar oto shmirah pechuta kalta shmirato. Meaning, when it comes to shomer chinam, as long as I'm shmirah pechuta, that's there goes my responsibility. Okay, I've done what I needed to do. Okay. Chay, however, eino chay b'termit, you don't need to do any more than that. That's a shomer chinam. Hachinam yishmirah nezakav. So too, that's the same thing. Sharei tam amarach madad chayev ki echid emay leshmirah pechuta. That was the starting point. You need a shmirah pechuta. So in other words, what he understands is that the Torah made a two-level limud for short time. This is why I understood the Marafulda. The first one is make it like a shomer chinam, that kalta shmirah to if you do a shmirah pechuta. Ella what? The Torah nonetheless was mechayiv you, ella sheikh mirah lavakatu v'liot kamua d'ni bayi nami shmir mula. So it was a two-staged thing when it came to time. Le'inyan imyata v'ezik yin mechayiv. So at the end of the day, what's an afkamin? If at the end of the day you chayev shmira, if you didn't do shmira mu'ula, the better form of shmira, then what do I care about this two-stage thing? And this is going to be important for the continuation, I understand the Gemara. Mi'u nafkamina im masru l'shomer chinam. If he gave it over to shomer chinam, this animal. And he did the Shmir Pachut, and now Bafanav Karoi. Viatzav Ezik, the Shomer would be Patur, Dakata Shmir to Shomer Chinam, because the Shomer Chinam, that's the responsibility of the Shomer Chinam to only do that level. And the Torah says, Minas Dam Tam is that. So you Kalta Shmira, in other words, there's like almost like a Shmira level requirement, plus an extra knas on top of that the Torah says you have to pay. So if you hand it up to Shomer Chinam, he does a base level, he's done what he needed to do. Ah, who does a knas level go to require that extra amount above a tam to bring it up to Shmira Mu'ula? That will go back to the Bailim. That's the Nafgimina. That's the understanding. Vabalim Mishalmi. Aval imasum l'shom ha-sachar. No, if you give a shom ha-sachar, who shom ha-chasa has to do Shmira Mu'ula, and he only did the Shmira Pechuta, he didn't do what was required of him. Shomer Sachar has a high level of responsibility. Okay. Yafer. So what have we seen so far? The background is, what we're saying now is, Reb Meir says, Shmira Mu'ula is required for the Tam and Mu'ad. Rebbe Yehuda says, Ultam is Shmira Mu'ula. However, when it comes to Shomer Mu'ad, it's Shmira Pechuta. So that's why the Gemara now says, it's Kachin the Marapulda. Therefore, Masa Shomer, one second. We'll get to that in a minute. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shmirat Nizikav Keshomer Sachar. As we said, you need this Shmira, if you like, Mu'ula. And it's from the base, from the starting point for a time. Okay? So it's like Keshomer Sachar. It wasn't like a two-stage thing like we explained. Okay, now, Amar Elaza, Divrei Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, Masar Shomer, so Masar Shor, change the girusa here according to Marfulda, Mu'ad l'shomer chinam. If you gave a shomer a mu'ad over to shomer chinam, yatsa v'izik, the shomer is patur. Why? However, yatsa v'nitraf patur as well. So let me just explain. It sounds to be here, if you give a mu'ad over to shomer chinam, his level of requirement for him is up to like whatever Shomer Chinam is required. This is a Mu'ad, which is a higher level, so therefore he's chayiv to pay the Shomer is patur, but the Baalim would be chayiv for the damage. It's a Mu'ad. Okay? It says, Kamo Shefaresh, however, v'yatza v'nitraf, however, if the animal itself got out and got injured, shu'uzak ha'shor, then it's patur. Why? Marful, this is ha'shomer le'shelem ezekula balashor. That the Shomer doesn't have to pay anything. Okay? Now, however, if it's masar, next thing, let shomer sachar, we give it to masar sachar, well then, chayev. Because if you only did shmur b'chut, he didn't do enough. And therefore, if you didn't do enough of what is required to do, the shomer sachar is chayev. So the assumption here is, he handed the shomer muad over to this individual, the shomer shchinam did shmur b'chut, and yatsa v'ezik, he'd be patur, he did what was required of him. And the Baalim would have to pay the extra amount over on top of it. Whereas when it comes to if you handed a Shomer Chana, Shomer Sachar, according to Rimeir, this is exactly like we explained it in the Marav Fulda, he's had to do Shmira Mu'ula, he didn't do it, so therefore he's Chayev. However, Yetzav and Nitraf, if ever this ox gets out and gets injured, well, then he'd be Patur. Now, why would he be Patur? Marav Fulda says, the law Asik Daita Shevo Achrim, because he thought, I've got this tough, crazy, wild ox here. And therefore, I didn't think I needed to worry about I didn't need to worry about the other oxen would try and start up with it. In other words, that's the way the Bible explains. It sounds like that it seems to be that he had the rationale that I thought I have a tough ox. I didn't think other oxen would start up with it. Like, I didn't think I need to watch out for other little oxen trying to injure it. That's kind of the understanding. However, when it comes to, let's continue. Amar Le'Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, however, Masar Shor, now we're going to change the gear, so it's a tam. If you give the Shor a tam l'shomer chinam, well, yatzav v'izik, here's the Shomer's chayiv. Because what's demanded of for a short tam is shmira ma'ula from the outset, and he didn't give it a full shmira, then he'd be chayiv. I'll just explain, sh'ayal l'shomer shmira ma'ula k'shomer sachar. He should have done a full responsibility like a shomer sachar. The shmir nazakav shekibel alav shorin ahainu davka shmir meula. Because despite the fact he's a shomer chinam, he's taking on this, if you like, this shor muad, whose base requirement, not two stage, base requirement is a shmirah meula. So that's understanding. Okay, granted, normally a shomer chinam doesn't have to do so much, but you're taking on this wild animal after shmir meula. You didn't do it. You're chayv. Then Chayev, Nitraf, gets injured once again, it's Patur. However, He doesn't have to worry about that like a Shomasacha does. However, if it's Shomasacha goes out and causes damage, if he gives that to Shomasacha, goes out and causes damage because he only did Shmiro Pchuta, well, clearly he is Chayev. Nitraf, once again, is fully aware then he's in that situation because we're dealing with a, he's saying a short term. You don't have that rationale anymore to say, I thought it was a tough enough animal. No, it's a short term. You've got to look after this animal that doesn't get injured. Okay, that's the breakdown according to Rav Fulda. I realize it's a little bit tricky, but again, we're trying to explain it like that. Pnei Moshe has a different take. The article goes a completely different way as well, but we'll continue. Now, Amar Rav Elazar, halo shomer hu va Torah chayavto. So what Rav Elazar is saying here, now Pnei Moshe says something similar to the Rav Fulda here. He says that Rav Elazar is asking Rav Yehuda, if it's tam shamur, if minas tam this animal is looked after, yet the Torah nonetheless is mechayev you. Meaning, in any case, in most people, look, if you like, look after this thing, then what difference is the tam and muad? Well, I'll put it slightly differently. I'll show you what the Pnei Moshe said. The Pnei Moshe says, "Kolomad demefarish v'loish meirno." When the Torah says you didn't look after the krasha, inum u'ilosh meirno, means that the shmir doesn't work. It means it's not going to help you. To kevan juad, once it's a muad, shuv ein shmir lazu. Once it's a muad, yeah, there's no shmir. V'loish meirno is more like not saying if you don't guard it. According to Rabbi Lazar, he says, once it's a muad, there is no way you can guard it, and you're always responsible no matter what. It sounds like, so Amar Abba Zakoshmir Chamar Torah, Filu Kipo Chomat Barzel, even if you put an iron fence around this ox, and somehow gets that, you'd be chayev. In other words, you've got put a Fort Knox around it or whatever it is. If somehow gets that, you'd be chayev. That's Rabbi Lazar's understanding, that even Shmur Ma'ula, if you did that level of guarding, you'd be chayev. Ella, what is it? Ella, you have to be begufo, unless he went out with the ox himself, and was a personal security detail for this ox. Meaning, he'd be chayev unless he was there, and he'd only be patur if it was mamash, if you like, when he went out, a case of complete honest or something like that. Okay? Okay, let's continue. We always say Hadron Alach, Shor Shanagach Dalet Arba Chamesh, Hadron Alach, Shor Perkshor Shanagach Arba Okay, fine. Let's learn the next parak. Now, Shoshanagach et hapara. So an ox now gores a para, a cow. V'ninsa ubara bitzida, and they find the ubar, this cow that was killed, had a baby inside it, or had a calf inside it. And then you find the calf that was also dead next to it after it was killed. So we don't know, when he gored it, im ad shalo nag e shalo nag chayada, maybe, or Mishanagcha Yalda, was the miscarried calf as a result of the injury, or maybe it was prior to it? We don't know. Is he responsible for the calf as well, the owner of the ox that killed this cow? So in other words, Meshalam Chetzi Nezek Laparo L'Revia L'Vlad. Well, here, Chetzi Nezek clearly for the cow that was killed, but for the Vlad, it's a suffix, so we do half of that. So half of Chetzi Nezek, so it's Mamon Mutaba Safek, it sounds like. Okay, let's continue. Now, v'chen para shenagcha et hashor, or para that gores a nisidroshen, a cow. So now the pregnant cow killed a ox. V'nimtza v'lada b'tzida, and after you find the vlad, if you like, next to this cow. Again, ein yodea im ad shelo nagcha yalda. We don't know if prior to the goring, this ox was, the calf was born, or after. In other words, was this calf part of the cow at the time of injury, such that we can now collect the funds from the calf as well? So once again, Meshalem Chatzi Nezek Paro Revia Min Avlad. We have to explain what that means, because simple understanding sounds like he gets 3/4 of the damage. No, you only take Chatzi Nezek Atam, so we have to understand what this means. So that's on the Gemara. Shor Nagat Chatapara. The Gemara says, V'fi kol parot bepilot. It says, what are you talking about? You've got a suffix whether this cow miscarried. How many cows miscarry? It's less than a majority. So why can't you say, since it's rov, cows just don't miscarry, then clearly the fact that this vlad is next to the cow dead, it must be as a result of the injury. Why can't you just rely on rov? And for sure, in the case where the ox kills his cow and vlad, you have to pay for both. Gemara says, Na lech bahem acha rov, ve'emor machmat negicha ipila. So Gemara says, Zot omeret shelo hilchu b'midat adin b'mamon acha rov. Then when it comes to we don't go by Rov, Ela b'miut, doesn't mean we go by Miut, but rather Rov is like Miut. In other words, you don't go by Rov to extract funds from someone. And we've seen this sugya before. So Amar Rav Yossi, we saw it in Ketubot actually. Amar Rav Yossi, b'makom acher hilchu b'midat adin b'mamon achar Rov. There is one case, we saw like Mesech Ketubot, where we do go by Rov. This is camel that is mating amongst other camels. And if you remember, we learned back in Ketubah, Reb Chaim said at the time, it's their darkan, their way. In Shatashmish, that they bite and kick and hit those animals that are those other camels that are near them. Okay. And they find that one camel is dead. So it sounds like that even though we don't go by Mamun Bacharov, if it's like a super rov, or not super rov, like a strong chazakah, in that the one that was in the mating, that was doing that, was sorry, the one that was mating, if you like, in that situation, it's known that they're generally violent and all the other ones are placid, then it's a strong, we can assume that he killed the other camel that was there. Okay, now, Gemara says, another tricky piece we're going to be doing now. So Meshalem Chatzin Nezek Min HaPara Ubal HaVladot Ole LeBal HaPara Revia. So what we're trying to say now is, what exactly is the case in our Mishnah? I'll just show you here. This is a mouthful again. Moki La Manita B'Para Dechad V'Vlad Dechad. The fact that what we're doing is taking the funds, say we said a half from the cow and a quarter from the vlad, in the situation where the cow actually did the murder, we don't know, killed the other ox, and we don't know if the vlad was part of the inside the cow at the time. That's when the cow and the vlad are owned by two different people. Because the imah kol shel echad, if it was all belonging to one person, kiven de mishalem chatzinezik min hapara, since you're taking chatzinezik from the para anyway, we'll take the full chatzinezik from the para that caused the damage, with or without the vlad. I should say without the vlad. So matzerich yoter, why do I need to also take from the vlad? We're saying chatzinezik from the para, and you want to, that you're done. Why do I need to also take this revia from the vlad? Doesn't make sense. Shura tameta, elamayr must be that the para dechad, the para belongs to one, meaning there's a business partnership. The para was owned by one person, and the vlad was owned by somebody else. And the para bavahiva dai nagcha clearly committed the crime. Meshalem chatzinezek. Ubal vlad noten lebal para revia. Hainu revia shel chatzinezek. Then what would happen? The bal vlad, he would have to pay a quarter of the chatzinezek. This is the Marafu who explains it, which is shminit, an eighth of the nezek. Okay. V'lo mosif kan ela dahai revia de vlad noten lebal para. Okay. So the question is, what we're saying now is that the only way to understand the Mishnah is if there's a joint ownership. One person has a cow, one has the vlad. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense because the chatzinezek can be taken straight from the power and there's nothing to talk about. So when do we say you don't get all your damage from the power? When the vlad, if you like, was owned by somebody else. Okay, so what seems to be here, saying here, the revia doesn't mean he pays a revia, because rather he pays a revia from the chatzinezek. So the person whose ox died clearly gets chatzinezek. And what is it? 3/8 come from the Baal Hashor, and 1/8 comes from the Baal Havlad. But how does a payment work? So the Gemara says, there's a debate. So according to the first understanding, in other words, Baal Havlad, or le Baal Paravia, that the Baal Hashor, the Baal Para pays a full Chatzinezek and is compensated or collects that 1/8 from the Baal HaVlad. So one check is written for Chatzinezek from, if you like, the person who owned the para, and he goes to the Baal HaVlad and say, well, give me 1/8 of the Nezek. That's first understanding. Am Rabbi Yossi, no. He says, Zeh noten mechetza, v'zeh noten mechetza. No, the person who was damaged goes to the Baal HaShor, Baal HaVlad. He says, okay, you give me your 3/8 as a Jew, and you give me my 1/8. In other words, how's the money being collected? So Gemara says, "May nafka b'nehun." What's a nafka between the two? Well, the answer is as follows: what happens if the metu vladot, the vlad? Because again, this is the second case where the ox gored. This is the ox was gored by, I should say, this para, and then it was found that who was pregnant. We know beforehand was pregnant, and now there's a calf next to it. The calf is still alive. But we're trying to, and then we were saying that really the compensation is collected from both the owners, not equal, but in the proportions we've already said. But what happens if the vlad then dies? So Gemara says, let's have a look. Manda meshen chetzi mepara v'revia nezek mivlad. The shita that says you get chetzi from the para, meaning you go directly to the two different individuals. Ahen yav nizke, v'ahen yav nizke. Each would pay their nezek. Now it's interesting here because the Pnei Moshe says, well, you can't collect since Chatzi Nezek, well, in the case of Tam, is Mishtalem Migufo, and the Vlad is dead. Well, he'll get his compensation as much as he can, as allowed to from the Balapara, and the person who's injured misses out on this, or we'll use a parish of the Marafula, misses out on that eighth he's meant to get the Bala Vlad because there's nothing to collect it from. However, what's interesting here, the Marafula actually persists and says, no. I'll just show you here. Here. Oh, one second, but he said, Hainu al derech shiparashti, as said, Ela shu'otan, yeah, Ela shu'otosh minit noten lenizak, ze noten lenizko, and gimush minit v'ze noten lenizak. Abalamanda, okay, so sorry, I'll just explain outside because it's a long piece and we're gonna run out of time. But he basically says is that the Baal HaVlad would still have to pay his component, not that he doesn't pay at all. Ah, it's metal. No, this is based on Shita Rebbe Yishmael, which we see in Masechta Bavli. This is towards the end of Derech Lohadin. That the only time we say when that if the like the shor that committed the damage is dead and there's no value, he can't collect anything, is when it was only one. If there were two, there's someone for where to collect it, he will always still get compensated. Okay? That's a sugya there. So in other words, it might be a difficult piece to digest here, but it sounds like according to this, Marfulda understands, no, the Baal HaVlad was still paying. However, now this is a bit simpler. It says, what happens though? According to the Shita that the Baal, the owner of the para has to pay the full Chatzin Nezek, and he then goes to try and collect the funds from the Baal HaVlad, I mean the eighth of the Nezek. We say, well, clearly the Baal HaShor has to pay the full Chatzin Nezek. That's the program. Vahen and the Baal HaVlad doesn't have to do anything. Lo didin bayit, aydi lei kumech. In other words, oh, you want to collect the funds from my blood? Well, there it is. Take it. It's chatzin nezek. Tamim, you have meant to take it from that which committed the crime. And here he is. The blood's dead. So really, according to both Pnei Moshe and the Marafulda, both of them explain that situation. The Baal HaShor, he pays the full chatzin nezek. Sorry, not Baal HaShor. The Baal HaPara pays the full chatzin nezek, and he doesn't get a chance to be compensated that eighth from the Baal HaVlad. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "V'chen para shenagcha et hashor." If you've got a cow that, again, that same case, the para who's pregnant, which was pregnant, and we don't know when it killed this ox whether it had yet not yet given birth to the calf or not. Already had. Okay. So Rav Bun Bar Chiya Bai Kamei Rav Imi Mipnei Shu Safek Ha'ilu Vaday. In other words, I don't understand. You're saying that he only has to pay a revia, the Baal HaVlad, because it's a safek. Mashma what? If it's vadai, zenoten mechetza, zenoten mechetza? Why does the Baal HaVlad have to pay if it was 100% sure? We know that this cow was pregnant at the time, not the case of the safek in the Mishnah. Then it seems implying, according to the Mishnah, they split the damage 50-50. It says, I don't understand. Kach ani omer ragla shel adam echad. Kula shel adam echad, zenotem mechetza, v'zenotem mechetza. In other words, I get the pshat here. It shouldn't be adam. The girsa, according to the Marafulda, ragla shel para shel adam echad, v'kulo para shel adam echad. That's how you should read it. Meaning that we're talking about a para here. He says, I don't understand. Why should, if I only have a tiny share in this ox, should I be chay for 50% of the damage? The Vlad isn't 50% of the worth of the animal. So Amar's lei says, b'muad matnita. It's a difference. There's a difference between tam and difference between muad. When it comes to tam, when it comes up, you mishtale megufo, the funds are collected from the value of the animal itself. So then you can say, yeah, you're right. That makes a lot of sense. It should be proportional. I have a small share in the animal. So therefore, and you're collecting it from the animal itself, I should only contribute a small share, comparable to what I have. What I'm part of. However, in the case of a muad, it's different. Because in the case of a muad, when we join it together, I'm just going to show you the Marafulda. He says, in other words, the Sefer is talking about a muad. And really, what would happen? They'd have to pay the Nezek Shalem for the Shor. I can understand when Tamna comes to the Gufa, you go from the body, you can go by the Chelek, Shesh Begufa. Aval muad einu meshalam migufo. The muad doesn't come from the body of the animal, it's nezek shalem. It comes from the bank account. Ma'aliyah. Vafilu hamazik, or ma'aliyah means from land, that is best land, but you know, it doesn't come from the shore. Vafilu hamazik enu shaveh ele ka'asirit. Even for the mazik only has a small share. Ka'asirit mena hezek. Meshalem mena yali has to pay for the nezek shalem. Lo azlina balacha kol sheyesh lo beguf. We don't look at your share in the body. Afilu ein lo asirit mina mazik. Even if it only has a tenth of it, meshalem chetzi nezek. Because the example is as follows. It says, Amar mu'ed haminita, ragla machu lecha den machar chetzia. Because what we're saying here is, when you come to, this is a bit like the case of people that contributed to a kiss that we saw before. That even if their contributions are just like not equal, nonetheless, we say that the profits, and as it goes up and down, are going to be shared equally. And we saw the sugya and the machloket regarding that. So the way to explain this piece now with the mu'ad, it's exactly the same thing. When it's not mishlem migufo, then it's just like a business thing, and therefore, what we're saying here, if let's say I have an ox, and I sell you the leg, then we say, then half of it has effectively been sold to Bala, the person who owns a leg. Because as we said, it's like people disproportionately adding to a pool of funds or a particular product, like here's a cow that can't be divided up, at least according to that shitta. And therefore, they would bear the profits and losses evenly. Shnia machalo, if he says the, sorry, raglo shnia, if he sells the second leg, then since I only have 50% left, then I'm selling you another quarter. So effectively, the purchase of the two legs, he hold, doesn't hold much of the animal, would, if it's the same person, he would now own effectively all three quarters of the shares of the profits and losses. That's a difference between a mu'ad and a tam. So that's why we can say in the Mishnah when it says, in a case, if it's not a safek, the bal ha'shor pays chetzi and the bal ha'vlad pays chetzi, because they're like business partners. And the case in the safe is simply talking about a case of a mu'ad, not a tam. And therefore, it's jadilu. Okay. So Amar Shlakish, Kolich Mu'ata de Levi Inun, all these shmaitas that we just learned is in the name of Levi. Now, it's really, in other words, Levi is a tana de Breitot. The Levi is a tana of this Breitot. And we'll stop here and go to the mission. All right, Seder. Well, so have a good day, everyone.
Thank you.